You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham, and for Cynthia Canty. A new study finds among birds tested in southwest Michigan, there are many more blood parasites than thought found in birds infected with malaria. The study was published in the Parasitology Research. To understand what that means for birds in Michigan, co-author Martin von Hoff is at Western Michigan University's Institute of the Environment and Sustainability. He joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, Lester.
I'm going to ask you to walk us through this a bit. First, avian malaria. How common is that among songbirds in Michigan?
It's very common, actually. Malaria parasites are distributed worldwide, very commonly found in most mammals, birds, and reptiles. So birds here in Michigan are like birds everywhere else, and they suffer from all kinds of parasitism by all kinds of little creatures.
So what does it mean that there's greater diversity in blood parasites in those birds with avian malaria?
I think what our study shows is that the diversity of parasites that is out there is much larger than we had anticipated. Avian malaria has been studied in Europe and North America for decades. And in our study, we went out expecting to capture a lot of kind of previously described diversity. And instead, what we found was that the majority, almost 60% of the parasite lineages that we observed in the birds hadn't been previously described.
How many parasites are we talking about that you found among the birds you caught?
Yeah, so in total, we found 71 different lineages of parasites, and 42 of those were newly described.
Wow. So what's the impact on songbirds?
Well, so parasites have a multitude of possible effects on their hosts. It's been shown in other studies that avian malaria causes sickness, and of course we know this from human malaria as well. And that sickness then, those physiological effects on the host then, have lots of downstream influences on the reproductive success of these birds, their behavior, and through changes in those individuals who are infected, of course, then there are downstream population level and even community level effects of that parasitism.
Now, we're talking songbirds. That's a pretty broad description. Well, we know some of these kinds of birds. Are they something we might see in our backyard?
Absolutely. The 11 most common bird species that we encountered during our study, which were found across gradients of urbanization here in southwest Michigan, are all birds that many of us will see when we go out in our backyard. So think here of American robins, northern cardinals, black-capped chickadees, white-breasted nuthatches. These are many of my own favorite birds when I go outside in my own house.
So these birds are at some greater risk than we thought. Are humans at increased risk because of these more parasites than you expected?
Absolutely not. And in fact, I'm not even sure that we can say that birds are at greater risk than we thought. I think what our study shows is that really people haven't looked at the diversity that's out there. And so here, during our study, we went out into southwest Michigan and we spent a lot of effort capturing birds at a large number of sites in a relatively defined area. We discovered a lot of this previously undescribed genetic diversity among these parasites. And I think that's meaningful in its own right. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden malaria is emerging in these birds, that we humans should be worried in some way. It just means that there's a set of interactions going on there that are really important to the lives of these animals that we were previously unaware of.
So let me clear this up a little bit, because I know first we got to deal with humans, then we got to deal with, could this mean a problem for chickens or turkeys or other domestic fowl?
Yeah, so the malaria that infects birds, the set of parasites that we call malaria, doesn't infect mammals at all. So the lineages of parasites that we find in birds are completely different from the lineages that we find in mammals. And it may be that we get bitten by the same insect vector of those parasites. So malaria is transmitted by mosquitoes or biting midges. And it's very possible that the same mosquito might bite into a mammal or a bird first and then bite into the opposite afterwards. And the parasite may even make it into the body of that new host, but it's not going to get very far. It just doesn't have the necessary set of adaptations to be able to survive in that very different host.
And the birds we raise, like chickens, turkeys, domestic fowl of that kind?
So the birds we raise are very distinct from songbirds. And so, you know, chickens and ducks and geese all absolutely are susceptible to particular lineages of avian malaria. It's just that they're very different lineages from the ones that infect songbirds.
The lead author of this study, Jamie Smith, looked at birds in more urban areas. What was found there?
Yeah, so Jamie's study was actually focused on understanding how the risk of parasitism by avian malaria changes across rural to urban gradients. So really trying to understand how urbanization might influence this really important interaction in the lives of these birds. What we know about urbanization is that it tends to remove wetlands. Through this process of development, we tend to kind of decrease the amount of water that's available. And in so doing, then, we're likely decreasing the populations of the insects that might carry these malaria parasites. And so we randomly selected sites all across southwest Michigan that represented this rural to urban gradient, and then we went out and sampled birds across that gradient. And what she's found, actually, is that our prediction is supported by the data, that urban birds suffer lower rates of parasitism than do rural birds. And in fact, the diversity of parasites is also much lower in urban areas than it is in rural areas.
One of the issues that has so much of an impact on what's happening with wildlife today is climate change. Will climate change have any impact on these songbirds?
Yeah, you know, climate change is going to affect everything. The change in climate over time leads to changes in habitat, leads to changes in appropriate timing of reproduction, leads to changes in the relative abundances of a variety of different kinds of organisms. And of course, we can't just focus in on one part of an ecosystem, one part of nature that we might be interested in, because of course, many of the organisms interact with one another. And so this process of climate change then leads to changes in how organisms interact with one another. And that will influence every organism on this planet. As communities change, as ecosystems change, the relative abundances of the organisms in those ecosystems will change. And of course, then those interactions that they're involved in, such as predation, competition, and parasitism, like we studied, will also change. And so our research is really trying to understand, well, how is it changing? And what does this mean for the lives of organisms in these changing environments?
I want to go back to the very fact of your findings, and that's there's this greater diversity of blood parasites. How surprised were your colleagues across your research field to this finding? Why hasn't it been looked at before?
I think the honest answer is that anybody who studies a group of organisms that isn't a vertebrate knows that they tend to be understudied and that there's a lot of diversity out there that we just don't pay attention to. So all the small things in this world, the malaria parasites, the mites, the nematode worms, the bacteria, are very understudied relative to bigger things that we like to focus our attention on. People who study avian malaria constantly find new lineages when they look. It was a surprise, I think, that we could find such a high level of undiscovered diversity in an area that is fairly well sampled and has been sampled for a long time. People have been studying avian malaria here in the United States and the upper Midwest for decades, if not centuries. And yet, you know, in a period of two summers, you know, we could go out and 60% of the lineages that we found hadn't been previously described. And I do think that's really noteworthy.
Are you good naming rights? Is there going to be some kind of von Hoff parasite or a Smith parasite now? Or?
You always have to ask yourself, do I really want my name associated with a parasite? we're definitely not there yet. You know, the way we describe the diversity of malaria parasites is through the use of a particular gene. And you may have noticed that I use the term lineage diversity. And so this is really about what's happening in this one gene. But of course, we need much more information than the sequence that we get from one particular gene to name a new species. And in general, then, we collect information based on this gene that tells us that something may be going on, and then it's up to, you know, us or others to really figure out, are these lineages representative of new species?
Martin von Hoff is a biologist at the Institute of Environment and Sustainability at Western Michigan University. He's co-author of a new study which documented greater diversity of blood parasites infecting songbirds with avian malaria. Thanks very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.